1977. This is an interview with John Gunn Wallace, a Baptist minister. How did you become minister?
I think it's been a long time since I've been a minister. I think it's been my age was about 17 years old when I started ministering. I'm 19 now, it's not 3 years or anything, it's just only 1 year and a half. That's how long it's been. The first thing it started was in that time while I was living in youth center. I used to live with a minister, a man that is a minister, I used to live with him. And he used to talk about Christ and stuff, about things to me. And I got interested in going to church and everything. And first thing they started me off was putting me on a Sunday school director in my first work. And I started there. And that few years later, in that next year, somewhere in the house, some kind of whistle or a blowhorn or something, some kind of sound that made in the house. Something said somebody's going to become a minister. And so I didn't believe it. I said I didn't believe it. I think it was three of us in the house at one time. And the other said, who is going to be a minister? Who is going to be somebody? Something they were talking to each other. And they all laughed and said, well, it's just something else. We just keep on talking. And then the second time, born again. And we realized that something was wrong. And we start searching around the house, but we didn't see anything or anything. A card or anything was outside. So the next few weeks later, I went home. Jackson, and I was up there riding around the car, and I was talking to this man about this thing that's going on, and I was laughing about it. I said, when somebody's gonna come and preach, I'm gonna graduate them, you know, and, you know, shake their hand or something. That's what I was gonna do, and I started laughing, and somehow. I really don't know how it really came about, but in my first ministry came that sometime in 1975 or 74, that year, that we had a revival, you know, a crusade going on at Conejada, and some evangelist was there, but I really don't know his real name. But on the first night, I know that somebody was talking to me. Somebody was talking to me to become a minister. It was not a man or anything. It was something that's reading my mind or my heart or something, just telling me, get up, say get up. I just didn't want to get up, just go out to the front of the congregation, say something that I want to say, but I couldn't. I just sit in my chair all that night. It was, I think it was Sunday to third Sunday when that revival happened. So I just sit there Sunday. And I fixed to get up, you know, when I was going to get up. And said, go, something said, just keep him bugging, say, go. But I couldn't go. But somehow I just had, I didn't know, I just didn't want to get up, but something just made me get up. And I just walked down the aisle. And I didn't know what to say when I got up there. And the minister said, and just came and took my hand. And some, you know, the Baptists use a confessional minister on confessing their sin, holding their hand or shaking their hand. And then when I started telling about these things that happened, and they said, well, it's going to be have to be your decision whether you want to be a minister or not. And I said, well, I think it's time for me to be a minister. I think I was being called to preach, and I said, okay. And in that time, that minister turned, you know, the invitation was over, and the man went to the phone,
working hard here.
Microphone and said, Brother John walked up here tonight and said, he said he's going to surrender the bridge. Surrender the bridge, and everybody was looking around. See, I was small. I was only 17 years old that time. And everybody was looking at me. And I don't know, I started crying and stuff like that. And I just sit down and watched him talk. You know? And everybody got stand up and said, said that he can't be and become a minister. And they got me to be a minister. Probably. And then the first time that I went after that, I want to run out of that door. But I couldn't. The people was watching me, and I couldn't. And that crusade was over, and you know, I went home. I thought I was going to preach that Sunday. The first time in my ministry, I was going to preach, but I couldn't. Because I didn't know the Bible or anything, to what to say or what to do and all those things happen for me. But the time passes and I start learning how to do it. And yeah, it's been about a year and a half, but now
tell us about your family and where you live.
I really don't know where my father and mother came from, but I mean what family they came from, but I don't know about them, but
you don't know who your parents are.
I know who my parents are, but well,
you don't know where they were living.
Yeah, they're living now because I've seen. Well, it's kind of a long story. Well, anyway, but I'm gonna start where I remember. In that time, we was living in Yakshibi kind of somewhere. And, we used to live on a farm, sharecropper or something. They used to call it sharecropper. But we used to live up there. That was when I was about seven or something, seven or eight. That time they had a RCA up here, however, they used to have RCA up here, and you know, my parents moved up here and I came with them. And I went to school up here about 2 years, and I went to Jackson in 1967. It was that time that I went up there. Yeah, stayed after about 3-4 years. And I went to school and stuff.
A public school?
Yeah, a public school.
And
it was only a usual life. I mean, same life that everybody, people lives in, that we had. It wasn't nothing special.
How many brothers and sisters do you have?
Well, including me, we're six, I think, six in the family.
You just preach at one church?
I go around preaching the words of God to other communities. I think most opportunity I have is at Tucker or at Boko Home. That's where I used to have opportunity to go up there. Most of the time I go to youth revival and preach the gospel to young people instead of the older people. Because I think most older people want a younger preacher to preach to the younger people to understand the words, what they're saying, and what life is like as being a Christian person. So my membership is at Bethany Baptist Church up here in Philadelphia. I've been around here since, I think, 6 months or three months, I think, around here. Now that I really don't do much, but we used to have revivals and stuff going on, so I just go around and preach in the Word. So, and
you don't get paid for this?
No.
Get paid?
No.
Or you just do it because you want to?
No, sometimes they pay you, but not really, because somehow they just think it's love offering or something. They just give it to you, just a love offering. And most of them, they just give it to me. And sometimes I don't. It doesn't matter what they do or not, because most people need money in other places. So I just go around free sometime. Around here we have about 15 or 16 ministers around here, and most of them just sticks around in their churches, about two or three of them in their churches. So I don't know why the people around there go around and speak the words, but they usually pick out somebody that can preach the word that they can understand.
Would the many young people attend church?
Oh yes, few of them attend the churches. Probably about, last time I was up there was about 59, I think it was 59 youth. I had a good time up there, you know. I think the church is different from Catholic or from other denomination churches, because sometimes I think that doesn't matter what kind of denomination you come from, long as you heard, you hear the words of God speak, because that's more important, because it doesn't matter which church you come from that you hear. But it's open to everybody from any other places to come and hear the words.
Did you come to the one that has over at this First Baptist Church?
Oh yes, I did. They said I was a guest speaker up there, but I don't know. They just think that I was somebody else, like a regular student, somebody just gonna stand up and say some words and sit down or something, but I didn't. Probably most of the young people didn't know that I was a minister up here. Because they think that most ministers are older and some are young. So they just stared at me and I looked at them. And I said, I want to sing. And they just started laughing. And I don't know. It was about 30 or 26 persons was up there.
Special uniform to wear, do you?
Oh no, I don't go around wearing no uniform or anything. I mean, that's what we call a, you know, part of God's society or something. That's what we call it, because we just wear a regular jean and shirt or something. Sometimes we wear something that we want to instead of things that somebody wears, a coat or a suit or something they wear, but we don't. We just wear some kind of checkered shirt or blue jean pants or black pants, whatever you want to wear. They're really against us doing like this, because you know, they just look at the person, what they think they are or something. They think they're a different person. Well, in Choctaw churches, we speak instead of English, we speak Choctaw words to the people. Most young people can understand English better than Choctaw, so we speak English. Myself, I use English better than Choctaw words, because I get more attention to the young people. And the old people that sit in there, they might not understand what I'm saying, but the young people might get understand. I think that's the way they think that young people can give reach to a young people, to each other, by using words that they can understand. Well, our Baptist church is based on our Bible, on the things that we do, on Lord's Supper and things that we do, they're just based on the Bible. They read out from the Bible and stuff, like most other churches do. Maybe it'll be different from a white man's church or something. It'll be different from them, because they use a chapter way or something. They do it because it's hard for them to understand, to other people to understand these things, that what we do, because we take more time and less time, because most chapter might get on time on churches, but most of them can't, because if they said on that time they're going to be there, but they don't. Some people do, but some people don't. And sometimes it's confusing. But you got to understand the things, what they say and what they are saying. If you don't keep up the words, what they're saying, you might get lost somewhere.
How do you go through the confession?
The confession that we go through to is some kind of, we open an invitation, hymn or something, and if the pastor's there, we ask the pastor to come in front and stand in front, so the people that in our congregation will come. One people or lots of people might come, so that's what we call it, open confession or something that we call it. And confessing their sin to the minister. And after that, we have a fellowship by shaking hands.
Baptism.
The baptism basically on the Bible. Also, sometimes we ask that. Sometimes we ask how the Baptist people came Baptist, and sometimes there was a joke came up from that. And one boy said, I think it was Brother James. He said, "What? If a people ask you, is Jesus Baptist or somebody else?" And we said, and he said something like this, "Well, Jesus baptized from John the Baptist, so Jesus must be the Baptist." So Jesus is Baptist, that's what they're saying, but I don't know. But the baptism come from the thing that come from the Bible, where you accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. When they take you to baptism, the baptism that you're buried with is when you die with Christ, when you rise from the water. So that means that when Christ comes that time, the second coming, that thing that's gonna, resurrection from the dead, they rise from the resurrection. That's what's going to happen. Like your sin is buried with Christ, and the resurrection comes, and you rise from the dead.
Well, how old does a person have to be baptized?
Well, in Baptist, some say 12, or some says you have to be a certain age.
Or when they're old enough to make their decisions.
Yeah, old enough to make your decisions, or... old enough to make your decisions. Thank you.
think the young people listen to you?
Oh, yes, I think they listen to me because more things that I want to say is more interesting to hear. Because I'm basically based on the Bible instead of go jumping to another subject, So I just based on one subject so that young people can hear what I say and what the Bible is talking about. And sometimes I use an illustration or a little joke or something that the people can hear. I get their attention by using a joke or something, see if they're hearing or something. And most people, and most of them hear them. They will listen to what I want to say because I get more attention what I say to them. I think that I get through to young people more better than that because some young people doesn't want to listen what the minister might be saying because it might be interesting or it would be boring to them because it's kind of different from a young minister speaking from an older person. But the older person knows better than young person. Sometimes it's always the same, both of them. One might know better and one might not. So it just depends on the person, how well he does on the Bible, and how well he does God's work and stuff they do.
How do you like your job?
Well, I enjoy doing things of God's way because it's more interesting doing things. One thing about it is that when you're a minister, when you go to school, you like to study more Bible than the books you have because the Bible is more interesting to study because you're going to have it in your head or in your heart that you're going to bury with it. So the book I carry and the things that I want to do, it's a little uninteresting things. Because the Bible is more important to me than the book. But I have to study the things I want to know. So I just usually be happy doing God's work instead of doing school works. Because I study more. I think when I get out of high school, I think I'm going to a Baptist college or somewhere to learn more. I know I can learn by myself, but I want to know more what the people is doing in other places and what things they are doing. And it's hard being a minister and a going to school, on a public school or any kind of school you're going to, is hard. Because I think most ministers here are not really educated or anything, but that's not important. The Bible, the things they learn from, that's important. Because they will know what they were talking about, what they're saying. You might see a young people might not read a Choctaw language book on a Bible, but most elderly people be reading Choctaw book. Because I think the older person knows better the things that they're saying.
What have you learned from your experiences?
I learned that it is hard for me to do what I want to do because I used to go drinking and sniffing gas and stuff. That's what I used to do. But it's hard for me to look back and go back because it's hard. Well, it's hard. It's not really that hard from my experience, the things that I did to lay off. Because I know what I got that is more important than what I want to do. Most important thing is that sometimes I think, I really don't think the same thing at one time. I just think one thing at one time instead of lots of things at one time. So that whatever I think that is, it is good. It's what I do. Experience with young people is it's kind of fun with them because
you satisfied with your job? What you do?
Yeah, I'm really satisfied with the things that I'm doing. But really, that I really want to quit school because it's hard for me. But I think I'll make it though. I'll make it to school and do what I want to do. But I know that I would make it if I stick with it. If I don't stick with it, I'm going to drop out because it'll be hard.
How long does it take you to make?
Well, my job is, I think it's working out well with others. The more people are interesting to hear the words, what I'm going to say, so they call me. Whenever they're ready, call me to come to their place and preach the word. I think I enjoy this work because I get in touch with more people and I meet lots of people. And sometimes I think someday I might go around this world preaching the word. Maybe. I really don't know yet what really I'm going to do. I might be a pastor here, around here. But I really don't know from now. Okay. I don't know what's going to be next. When I was small, I used to. I think I told you that I used to be a sharecropper. Yeah. I think my father and mother, our parents were sharecropper at that time. I think from their father, they were sharecroppers at that time. And I think my father didn't have the really education, I think, or he just know how to sharecrop and things, stuff. I think my mother comes from Bokchido, I think it is. And my father comes from Nakshibikan. So, we really didn't stay at one place at a certain time, just a year or 2 years or something. We just go around the country. But first thing, when I was there, when it was sharecroppers, I used to hold a garden or go to the field, work at the field, drive tractors and stuff. That's what I used to do. We had a some kind of special school that I went to every day. It's kind of little school, one room school or something they used to call it. And we had about 28 or 30 students we used to have. From first grade, no, kindergarten to eighth grade, this is what we used to have. And we just call it one big old family. We had one teacher. We had a kitchen in that class. We used to eat soup and Campbell's soup, you know those one of those noodles and stuff. We used to eat those stuff in those glasses. And we had a milk box that was on the hallway. We used to goof around in that hallway because the school was big, you know. We had an auditorium and had 12 classes, I think it was, but we only used one class.
What room?
I think it was the first room to your left. That's where we used. It was a big room, so we had only one teacher. Also, we didn't have many teachers because we didn't have no principal. We just had a teacher. It was run by Mennonite churches people. I think the people up there think that Choctaw needs education up there, so I think they run the places. I think that school is done turned down, I think it was, last time I was up there. Farthest things I remember is that Neshoba County was that county that had a peace treaty or something. That's in Rabbit Creek. It was up there when I was. They used to talk about legends and things that would happen up there. But I really don't remember how it went. You know, they used to say that some kind of stone or marble thing, stand white things that they used to sign with peace treaty or something. They used to say that the peace treaty is supposed to stand on the other side of the road instead of the other side. Something. They said some kind of been tricked by a white man by doing that, you know. They had some kind of chief names was up there. I really remember whose name was there, but it was up there. They used to say that in that creek, about, let's see, I think it's half a mile from that stone is standing there. They used to say a little creek they used to run, but I think a shallow water just running across. They used to say that there used to be a diamond or gold or stuff that buried down there. When the sun sets, that water comes up. I don't know how really they said it, but it was interesting, but I really didn't believe that thing what they were saying, because sometimes the water usually rises up by itself or something. But somewhere they said there's supposed to be a gold in there somewhere, but they couldn't find it. The only thing they remember is that the chief has been telling about the things what have been happening, what the things that happened. The chief died a long time ago, but I think it was in 68, somewhere. And we had a good time listening to the things that we heard, but I really can't remember what the things that really they said. Because it's been a long time. We used to have some kind of dance or something they did long time ago. We had a Choctaw dance. It's not a house dance or anything, it's a sad dance that we used to have. I think it was every third Friday or Saturday night, something. Sometimes Friday, Thursday, something that we used to dance. They used to dance a duck dance or a snake dance or something. They used to dance. And I remember dancing one of them somewhere. But I can't remember where, but I did. And that was when I was about, I don't know, about 10 or 9 or something there. I remember the first time my father asked me to drive a car when I was small. I couldn't even reach the clutch or accelerate it. But I didn't drive though. But I mean, I really didn't step on an accelerator or anything. I just steered the wheel. That's all. Steered the steering wheel. Cause I was really that small.
If you work on just that work, edit.
What do you hope that these young people get out of what you're saying?
Well, I think they will listen a little, cause I might just brief their mind what really happened that time, cause most young people today are growing up in a place where a good place, you know. I think they will listen if they have these books on non-Hawaiian books that they publish that. If they buy some, they will look at it and see what happened to other persons that time. And it will be interesting because probably some person you know about something that you really know really about. And that's what's happening.
Stop it, please. Time to go.
You okay?